And it is that time of the day, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, give us a quick standings update in the competition here today on weekend winners.
So we all had a sort of blah week, not terrible, but not great. But Michelle and I both got our locks. You know, we went 2-4. You did not get your lock, but you went 3-3. So we all got 3 points. So we basically hang in. Robbie in first, 49-35, 57 points, 8-6 on his locks. I'm 46-38, 55 points, 9-5 on my locks. So 2 points back. Michelle, 38-46, 42 points, 4-10. On the locks.
So with that in mind, let's get rolling today. We'll begin with the Heat and the Boston Celtics coming up in game six. The Celtics are favored by 9 points on FanDuel Sportsbook. I'll start us off on this one. I had the Heat coming back from down 3-2 and winning, so I'm going to take the Heat plus the 9 on this one and make it my lock. I'm locking down out of the gate on the Miami Heat plus the 9 points tonight against the Boston Celtics. Joe Rexroad, Celtics favored by 9 points.
Exactly the same.
You locking down?
Locking down.
Wow. Right out of the gate with the locks here today on the program. Michelle Knezovic, the Heat taking on the Celtics. Celtics favored by 9 points.
Okay, give me the Heat. But I'm not confident in it. And I'm not locking it down, but I'll take the Heat plus the 9 or plus the 8 you said.
Plus 9, yep.
Yep, I'll take them plus 9.
All right, so the Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues coming up in Game 6 as well. Big win by the Blues in Game 5 to force this Game 6. Joe, we begin with you. The Avs and the Blues on the puck line. Who do you have in Game 6?
Yeah, I've got to go Avs. I feel like we're going to have a lot of the same picks, but that's not good. I'm trying to catch you. But I got to go Avs. I think they're going to win this game and end this thing, and it's an annoyance to them that they had to come back for this game, and maybe it helps Edmonton in the next round, but the Avs are going to win tonight.
Michelle Knezovic, the Blues and the Avs. Blues at home in this game. Who do you have between Colorado and St. Louis?
Avs lock.
Wow.
That one was easy for me. Yeah, I think the Avs are taking this one.
Locking down on Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, and the Colorado Avalanche. I will take the Avs in this one as well. Give me Colorado to win in Game 6. All right, Game 6 coming up between the Hurricanes and the Rangers. Michelle, we begin with you. Carolina on the road taking on the New York Rangers. Who you got in this one?
I'm actually going to go with the Rangers in this game. I do think Carolina will end up winning the series, but I think in MSG that the Rangers will get another win under their belt. So give me the Rangers for this one.
I think the Hurricanes can't possibly just continue to struggle on the road forever. And I think this is the game where it changes. Give me Carolina on the road. They win in Game 6. So I will go Carolina on the puck line. Joe Rexroad, the adopted Rangers fan here on the program. I would assume you're going with the New York Rangers, but I'll ask you anyway. Who are you going with in this game?
That's it. Give me the Rangers at home. Like them a lot in this one.
Going with the Rangers at home at Madison Square Garden. We move now to the individual portion of the program. I'll kick us off on this one. Nashville SC taking on Colorado. I'm calling a draw between Nashville SC taking on Colorado, which, hey, the odds are plus 230 on a draw. So that's what I'm going with. Nashville SC, a draw on the road against Colorado. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, I'm going to go different than you on that. I'm going to go, Nashville SC has had a great run here at home. Of course, they got very accustomed to the road early as Geodis Park was being wrapped up. I think they're going to be road warriors and go get the win.
Ooh, W for Nashville SC coming up against Colorado. Michelle Knezovic, your first individual selection.
I am going to piggyback right off you, too. I'm going to go Nashville SC as well. And I think they win, as well as Joe says, and I think they win 1-0. A little called shot right there. So give me Nashville SC.
Even going with the score. I like that. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
So as you can see, man, once we start getting into like the playoffs, getting pared down, and you got to start doing baseball games, it's a toughie, man.
Joe and all his White Sox fandom.
When does Australian rules football start?
Well, I mean, Well, what about like the USFL? Like, if I had been paying any attention to like the USFL, you know, I might be thinking about that. But how about a little, you know, Guardians Tigers today? They're both bad, but I'm going to go, you know, with Bieber on the mound for Cleveland. I'm going to go with give me the Guardians.
Okay.
I don't see a line. I see the Guardians.
It's plus one and a half. Yeah, it's usually baseball is one and a half either way. So there you go.
So wait, am I giving up a run and a half?
Well, I can tell you real quick. The Guardians are favored by 1.5.
Actually, then switch me to the Tigers. Guardians going to win by a run.
Going Tigers plus 1.5.
Yeah.
God bless the city of Detroit. All right, Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm going MLB as well. We've got the Giants versus the Reds, guys.
Oh, yeah.
If you know anything about this pick, the Giants are favored by 1.5. Give me the Giants.
Taking the Giants, Giants minus the 1.5 here on the program. So Michelle's hatred of the Cincinnati Red continues here on this program. I will go Arizona Diamondbacks plus 1.5 against the Dodgers. Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the Diamondbacks today. Give me the D-backs plus 1.5 against the Dodgers. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Okay, finally, we've got Miami Marlins against the Atlanta Braves. Ian Anderson, my guy from high school, shout out Shen High School. My stepdad coached him. Atlanta Braves, he's on the mound today. Give me the Braves minus 1.5.
Going with the Atlanta Braves minus 1.5. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
All right, I'm taking it too. I don't know. I don't think there's a line. Just put it on the baseball line, the money line. Yeah, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, elimination game in the SEC tournament. Give me Vanderbilt to bounce back with the dub and carry on into the tournament. Sorry, I know that you're very into that Cats baseball team.
Hey, they beat Tennessee.
They did. And then you were like, oh, wait, we have a baseball team?
Oh, no, I knew. They beat LSU yesterday and Auburn.
I know.
I don't follow too closely, though, as you can tell.
There we go.
Who's your favorite pitcher on the Kentucky team?
Yes.
I don't even think I know any of them.
I'm sorry, Michelle Perry.
I will go with the St. Louis Cardinals plus 1.5 against the Brewers coming up today. Cardinals at home, I'll go Cardinals plus 1.5 against the Milwaukee Brewers. So that is my final individual selection there on the program. Joe's big into the baseball today.
Yeah, so we're getting down to it. When do we decide this ends? This end with like the College World Series, basically?
Yeah, like when I think College World Series is probably the cutoff date.
Yeah, then we just, yeah.
Or, I mean, if we really wanted to, I could get back into Australian rules football like I did last year. That was a big hit on the text line.
Well, I think you'll still have that opportunity, right? Like it'll be going by then.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So
one of my first days, Robbie, you were picking Australian rules football, and I remember sitting next to Ryan Porth, listening, thinking, oh my gosh, I have no idea anything about that, and thinking for a second, like a brief second, do they like actually like do this?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh God, I'm in over my head, and then I realized it was a joke shortly after.
You're like, oh my gosh. Like, I've got to learn so much about Australian rules football. We all should, though. I mean, it looks amazing.
It does.
It really does. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee and Vanderbilt, the game from Hoover, Alabama yesterday. Statement win for the Vols. What does it mean for them? What does it mean for the Vandy boys as they move forward today as well? We'll get into that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Burke sends it to the gap in left center field. Wow. It will go. Apple Taco Blake Burke with a pinch hit bomb.
He's a freak, man. I mean, I know you've seen him plenty this year, but you want to look at the next great power hitter in college baseball? I think that's the one right there.
The Bats were going last night for the Tennessee Vols. They take down the Vanderbilt Commodores 10-1 last night in the SEC tournament down in Hoover, Alabama. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game is your racing station. Tune in this Sunday to 102.5, 106.3 for a racing doubleheader starting at 10 o'clock with the Indy 500, followed by NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the race weekend. This Memorial Day weekend racing doubleheader on 102.5 The Game is presented by Nashville Super Speedway, Nashville Fairground Speedway, and European Collision Repair. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And another statement by Tony Vitello and the Tennessee Vols baseball program yesterday. They went 10-1 against Vanderbilt, so more of the same for Tennessee. They improved to 50-7 on the season, and the ball just flying out of the yard yesterday. They pitched really well. You know, Tidwell started the game yesterday for the Vols, and then the Vols and their lineup did what they do, and that is hit a lot of home runs. They have now hit, I believe, 139 home runs on the year, which is tied for 11th in Division I baseball history for the most home runs in a season. So Tennessee's bats are working right now. We had a texter on the text line earlier talk about how Mike Honcho needs to get some things figured out. You know, they can't all be hot at the same time, but Tennessee's baseball or Tennessee's lineup has basically just been crushing the baseball all year long, and no different last night against Vanderbilt. They win 10-1.
Yeah, look, again, you're talking about the best lineup, the best team in the sport, a team we're talking about is one of the best ever. Like Tim Corbin said after the game, it's one of the best he's seen in 20 years. Pretty big statement. Tim Yep. Corbin's been coaching in the best college baseball league, you know, for a long time, has had some of the best teams in the league's history. And that's a pretty big compliment. But I mean, you're talking about four convincing throttlings of, look, an admittedly not great or vintage Vanderbilt team. And you got Futrell on the mound, a midweek starter. So it was already kind of not a great matchup, but I still think 10-1 is, it's just, you know, what they're doing to people is so impressive. They are absolutely relentless, and they're relentless at the plate, but also on the mound. They've got everything. They've got everything you need. And so I expect them to, you know, they have nothing to gain in terms of the tournament from playing any more baseball this weekend, but I don't expect them to approach it any differently.
What do you think 4-0 this year against Vanderbilt? What does that mean for, let's start with the Tennessee fan base. What is this like right now for the Vanderbilt fan base as well? We know that this has been a rivalry that, especially the last 2 years, has really kind of cropped up here. I mean, Vanderbilt was so dominant against Tennessee before then, and the last 2 years, Tennessee has started to make some noise. What does 4-0 against Vanderbilt this year tell you if you're a Tennessee fan? What does it tell you if you're a Vanderbilt fan?
Well, it's got to be so satisfying for Tennessee fans. And sure, I mean, there's a lot of Tennessee fans who probably know a whole lot more about this baseball program now than they did, you know, like a year and a half ago, right? I mean, like last year's team got the momentum going. But I mean, that at some point that happened at Vanderbilt too, right? Like before Corbin turned it around, was it a huge baseball following fan base? I mean, that's what happens. You know, a program becomes something, and then most of the fandom follows. And I think Tennessee fans are enjoying the heck out of this. I think Vanderbilt fans are the opposite, very much hating this. It's, you know, Vanderbilt fans, look, they've had, I mean, during the course of this Corbin era, there have been many great teams, and there's been some teams that have just been okay. I mean, there's always a level of, like, they're going to be good. You know, but you've had your ups and downs, just like any program would. I think it is different to have it be Tennessee, you know, be the team that – because you've had other great programs in this league. Mississippi State beat you in the final series last year. You go through the SEC – most of the SEC schools have had some good eras of baseball, and a lot of them have had like extended really good eras of baseball. But when it's Tennessee, that just hasn't really been a thing during the Corbin era. So I think it's probably a lot more frustrating. I mean, it certainly seems that way for the Vanderbilt fan to see this. And, you know, we'll see from a program perspective what it means. I still believe that both can be very strong moving forward, but there's actually a chance that some in-state kids that Vanderbilt really wants may prefer Tennessee. And that wasn't really much of a consideration, I think, for most of Corbin's tenure.
So now Vanderbilt will take on Kentucky coming up this afternoon to try to stave off elimination in the SEC tournament. So, you know, we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the SEC tournament here, but I think it's pretty clear they're going to be a two in the regional at this point. And I said this earlier, whoever is the one seed in the regional with Vanderbilt being the two, probably not going to be very happy at the end of the day. But as we start to get closer to regional play now, what do you make of this Vanderbilt team? Do you think that they can get back to Omaha for the College World Series? What do you make of the group that Tim Corbin has and the way that they're playing heading into postseason play?
I mean, it's not impossible, of course. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. It would require just a lot of players who have either had ups and downs or just more downs than ups to really turn it on, I think. I mean, the question to me is, I think they have a lot of promising young pitchers who, you know, have good futures ahead of them. They just, you know, you don't have – I mean, Carter Holton is your best pitcher, not Carter Hutton, for those of you who heard the show earlier.
Although I'm sure he can really pitch well.
You never know. He may be able to bring it. He's Carter Holton, freshman, your best pitcher, most reliable pitcher. I mean, that can work for you when your best pitcher, most reliable pitcher, is a freshman named like Kumar Rocker, for example, and he throws a perfect game in the NCAA tournament. You know, but for most part, it's probably not good. Now, again, let's go to Tennessee. They're also super young, especially on the mound, and they're just dominating. So you're going to have some people step up in, you know, everywhere with this team. I would not call it impossible. And, you know, it really is a clean slate. Get the momentum going. Whoever has Vanderbilt come to their place is going to be just like, they're going to be probably going to be upset about it and complain about the committee one. And yeah, it's not something that you relish. Enrique Bradfield has got to be the catalyst. He's their best baseball player. When he gets on base and causes trouble, they're better. Last night, he's 0 for 4. They lose 10-1. A lot more to it than that, but I'm saying that's got to start with him.
Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Viking Matt texting in says, don't you think Vandy lost a lot of talent from last year? It's hard to replace those two big arms. I don't think there's any question. Replacing Walker and Leiter, I mean, that's a big deal when you lose those two guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, last year's team, you know, look, 2019, that was the national championship team. It had everything. Everything. And really in 20, I think there's a great chance in 20 that they repeat. I mean, they're, you know, because you have a lot more of your lineup from that last team, and you have both those pitchers. Last year, I really felt like those two guys carried them to better than they were, you know. I got them all the way to the final series. So of course, if you lose two pitchers like that, it's hard to get two pitchers like that. I mean, we were talking last year about the historic, you know, relevance of having two pitchers who may be picked as high as they were. It didn't turn out quite that way, you know, with Rocker's situation. But I mean, of course you're gonna struggle to just keep it rolling when you lose two guys like that.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Huffy on the text line says, where did Rocker end up? Now, we all remember what happened with Rocker last year. He gets drafted by the Mets. Willie Donick and TD were basically throwing a parade. They were very excited about it. And then the medical came back a little weird and did not end up signing with the Mets. I think he's going to be playing in the Frontier League with the Tri-City Valley Cats is the last I saw. I think Jeff Passan had a report on this a few weeks ago.
My hometown.
A few weeks ago about this. So, really?
Yeah. Well,
Kumar Rocker. Looks like he's going to be
playing
for the Valley
Cats. I know. I was excited.
Cats.
Valley Cats. What an area. Hudson Valley, New York.
Why don't you go do a report for the station for us from there, you know?
Yeah, could be. So that means that he'll be eligible to be drafted again, I believe. So I wonder what that looks like and what the draft looks like for Kumar Rocker after that. Probably not as high as he just was, would be my guess, which is very unfortunate.
Like I mean, based on all I've heard about the medicals and everything, I think there's somebody who's going to be really lucky out of all this in Major League Baseball. And I think the Mets are going to regret it. We'll see. A lot of it is very strange for sure. And there's no doubt, like last year, because velocity, definitely went down and things like that. There were some concerns. He wasn't as consistent. He wasn't as great, but I still think he's built to be a heavy innings, very effective major league pitcher, as long as he doesn't have any more setbacks. So there's something, or there isn't something like, again, that like, from my understanding of the medicals, it's like, I don't know what their deal is, you know?
That's so weird.
It was very weird. And yeah, there's always a chance that like there's some kind of missing information, piece of information, you know, that's key in something like this, but I don't know what it is. So I think somebody's going to regret. I think the Mets are going to regret this. Of course, the Mets are having this magical season, so right now they don't care, but I think they screwed this up.
Coming up next, we were joined earlier in the show by Stephen Holder from The Athletic. He gave his thoughts on the Titans, the Colts, and a wild offseason in the AFC. We'll play that conversation coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Stephen Holder from The Athletic. Stephen, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. Doing great. How about you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be on with us here this morning. So, Stephen, we were just talking about this, looking around at the rest of the AFC. I think Joe and I identified the Jets, the Texans, and the Jags as the three teams we feel pretty good about not being playoff teams, and that's about it. Can you remember a conference really ever in the history of the NFL being quite like the AFC figures to be this year on paper?
Yeah, it's really intriguing on paper. I just think with all the talent that has come in, there's almost a little bit of an imbalance. I mean, It feels like the old Western Conference in the NBA, you know, where it was like, man, if you're in the West, you just got to barely make the playoffs. You know, I mean, it does feel that way. You know, obviously the expanded playoffs will help, but there's going to be, I think, some good teams on the outside looking in. This is definitely, I think, a new day for the AFC.
Steven, I know you've been able to catch a little bit of Colts action, here this spring here recently. What are your thoughts of Matt Ryan so far, and maybe anything else that stands out?
Yeah, I think with Matt Ryan, it's potentially, and again, everything's on paper right now, and we're doing a lot of projecting. But I think the difference he is going to make may be bigger than we really appreciate right now. I think that's possibly true. And the reason I say that is I just think this offense under Frank Reich, it's going to be able to function the way it was intended with Matt Ryan. This is not necessarily shade to Carson Wentz, but I think that it's a timing offense. And if you recall when Phillip Rivers was quarterback here a couple of years ago, you know, you saw a lot of these crossers and these wide receivers getting yards after the catch and really being productive that way because the ball was on time and guys were getting the ball in an accurate position where they could run with the football. And look, they have to do a very good job of play design here. They draw stuff up pretty effectively. And I think really what it takes is execution to get that stuff done. And already, just in a couple of practices, what you can see is it's very clear. The ball is there. When the receiver comes out of his break, the ball is where it's supposed to be. And I think that is going to add a lot more juice to this offense in Indianapolis.
Steven, looks like Kenny Moore is looking for a new contract with the Colts. How do you see this situation playing out for Kenny Moore and the Colts?
Yeah, these things are always delicate. You know, when you've got a guy with multiple years left, you've got 2 years left on that contract, and certainly the Colts are worried about setting a precedent here, and by renegotiating this contract. At the same time, I do think that you can make a pretty compelling argument that he signed this deal in 2019. He got an $8 million bonus then, but he has, he's got no more guarantees left. He's averaged, if you want to call it a four-year extension or a five-year contract total from the day he signed it, it's either a $7 million average or eight or $9 million average. Look, there are 22 cornerbacks in the NFL making in excess or an average of $10 million a year. He's not close to that. So the question then becomes, do you want to consider him among that group? I think probably so. He made a Pro Bowl this year, and what he is asked to do for the Colts is a lot more than what people describe him, which is technically a slot cornerback. He is effectively, I think, the third most important player on their defense behind Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner, just because of the litany of things they ask him to do. So I get why he's asking for the contract. I also understand that the Colts, they're very, very adamant about not renegotiating. So it's a standoff, and I don't know who ultimately blinks first.
Yes. So, Stephen, we've talked quite a bit about the Titans' offensive line, its role in Ryan Tannehill's regression last year, but, the importance of pass protection, losing Roger Saffold, not a great thing. I'm wondering, with the Colts, obviously a lot of talent up there, but it's not like protection was great last year. There were some struggles, some moving parts. How do you feel about that group at this point?
I would agree. I do think that there was definitely regression from the offensive line. I think for the first time since, the Quentin Nelson draft class, that was probably the first year they took a backward step, I felt like, on the offensive line. That being said, I do think they're going in the right direction. A couple things to note: a lot of that, or some of it at least, was the product of injuries. Quentin Nelson played hurt all year. Braden Smith, the right tackle, he was hurt most of the year, and definitely I think that showed in his performance. Now, Ryan Kelly, he and his wife had a family tragedy. He missed several games as a Pro Bowl center. So you had your three best players were impacted. Their performance or their availability was impacted last year. So I don't think it's a surprise that they took a step back, but the fact is they did. And now, from what we know at least, Quentin Nelson is healthy, Braden Smith is healthy, Ryan Kelly's back. The left tackle spot's a little up in the air. But they did spend a third-round pick on Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan. They think that they got a steal there, and he's going to get a shot along with Matt Pryor, a veteran who they really like, who did perform well there instead of Eric Fisher at times last season. So if they figure out left tackle, I feel pretty good about it. The rest of the spots, I think they're pretty solid, frankly, and I think they can have a pretty solid line this year. Matt Ryan, frankly, will consider this an upgrade from what he had in Atlanta. So from his perspective, he feels pretty good about it. So that I can tell you for sure.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Stephen, how do you view the Titans with the offseason that they've had? Obviously, you trade A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. They drafted Treylon Burks. Joe brought up Roger Saffold being gone to the Bills as well. Not a ton of additions. You did bring in Robert Woods from the Rams, but overall, how do you view the Titans right now with the offseason that they've had?
It's interesting because I think we have seen this offseason, really the past couple offseasons, we have seen teams that have come up short really get aggressive in the offseason. Or just in general, teams have gotten pretty aggressive in the offseason. The Titans have gone the other direction. They've kind of stood pat for the most part. And I think it's interesting when you factor in the playoff results that they had and then to have the offseason that followed, I think that's mildly surprising. There certainly are financial constraints, but frankly, one of their best players is going out the door. And I'm talking about A.J. Brown, and certainly Roger Saffold doesn't help either. So I think that would be my first assessment. Just, you know, what does that tell us about how they feel about their football team? You know, does it send a message that they think they're okay? Do they not need to be more aggressive? I don't know. It's interesting. I think that it certainly puts a lot of heat, I think, on the men running the show, because look, when you have a lot of regular season success, and they have, and they should be lauded for that, you know, there are expectations that come from that, and those expectations center completely on the postseason. So it'll be interesting, and I think the AFC South is going to be tougher this year, because I do think Indy is a stronger foe. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out, and if it doesn't go as well as they hope, you know, what price is there to pay for that? I'm not suggesting anyone's getting fired. I think that's a little ridiculous, but I'm just saying I do think the heat gets turned up a little bit because the expectations are there and they're real.
No doubt. And speaking of expectations, Steve, you know, obviously they've changed dramatically in Denver. Tension level changes dramatically. I mean, I'm very intrigued by that team. What do you think of that team this year with Russell Wilson at quarterback?
I really think that, look, he has an opportunity, I think, to make one of the biggest differences of any acquisition we've seen this offseason. I mean, that team has been pretty formidable. I mean, they're not a team that's really a pushover. You know, really the last few years, even though their record doesn't necessarily always reflect that they were very good, they're not a team that people just walk in and have their way with. And, you know, they play consistent defense, so that's always going to get you places or take you places. They also have some pretty formidable skill position players. And I think Russell Wilson is going to really accentuate those guys. I mean, think about, you know, who's been playing quarterback there in recent years, and yet, you know, they have really, I think, displayed a lot of talent there at wide receiver. Now, think about what Russell Wilson can do for that group and taking it to the next level. So that team's got all kinds of potential. I mean, now, the flip side of that is the AFC West is the absolute murderer's row. And, you know, I worry if you're one of those teams, I would worry, you know, do they all beat each other up? And, you know, what does that do in the end in terms of the final result and everyone's record? So that is, that's just a fascinating division. It's gone from, you know, a division where Kansas City basically ran things to now being, I mean, who knows? I think it's wide open. It's frankly wide open. You still like Kansas City, maybe, but it's not as if they didn't have a big change this offseason, you know, for the negative with Tyreek Hill. So that's a fascinating division, and Russell Wilson is a game changer, no question about it. The Raiders are better. The Chargers are better. That's the division I'm watching.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Stephen, great stuff as always. Appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Okay, no problem, guys. See you soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stephen Holder, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Joe just got the greatest news ever in the last commercial break. Just the greatest news of all time.
I'm shook, man. I'm shook. This 2-hour special on the Wings Avs of the 90s. I mean, first of all, I had to watch the Claude Lemieux hit on Chris Draper again, which was bad enough. Then I had to hear Claude Lemieux talk and Patty Roy talk. And I am just fired up. And I won't ruin it for anybody. I just tweeted the trailer, but the last scene of the trailer is it's hit me like a Claude Lemieux dirty hit. Holy crap.
So these like documentary specials that ESPN does sometimes. Some of them are really stupid. Some of them are great. I have a feeling this one's going to be great.
Yeah, this is a kind of a no brainer, kind of a can't miss. So I don't think they're going to. I don't think you could screw this one up. So man, am I pumped?
Joe, I turn the floor over.
Do I ever hate the Avs of that? Yeah, thank you. Do I ever hate those Avs? See, here, this is a great example. So some people hate a franchise, like no matter who's in it, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, I think probably my most hated franchises, but they're of the era. It's the Avs of then, and it's the Celtics of the late 80s. But I actually like both teams now. Is that weird?
Yes.
No, I mean, look, I think a lot of it has to do with the players, right?
Well, I think so. But it's also like I don't even like really root for Detroit sports teams anymore. I just laugh at them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I'm just – But anyway, I do want to do a shout out real quick because this mug right here, Michigan State Dad, I gave to my dad 31 years ago. I have inherited it, and now I am that. And I just want to say congratulations to our oldest, Jack, who is graduating tonight from Nolensville High, and then heading on to the place where he was created, essentially.
Sparty. Oh, God.
There you go.
Congratulations, Jack. It's a great day here in the Rex Road household. Going to Michigan State. It's good stuff.
And shout out to – what day is your birthday, Michelle?
Sunday, the big 2-5.
Did you just have a mute issue?
No.
No, you were frozen.
Oh, jeez.
Don't try to blame this on me, Rex Road.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, so happy birthday. It's a big one. You can do everything now. You can do everything that any adult can do in the world.
Rent a car.
You should go like just
rent a car.
Just pick some. Yeah. Just pick like the most random rental car place and just say, hey, you know, I'm going to.
Listen, we all know the saga.
You can't.
The saga of my car last month, yeah. And I rented a car. I think I'll stick with my car for a bit. But thank you,
Joe. Just going to hold on to it for a while. That may be the smart way to go about it.
All the rental car companies in town are shaking their boots, hoping you don't rent a car from them and then complain about them on the air and get them in trouble.
No. The rental car company, they were fabulous.
That's true.
They were amazing.
That is true.
Right.
Joe, what's the number one game you're looking forward to coming up this weekend? Got a little Avs Blues tonight, Rangers Hurricanes, game 6 between the Celtics and the Heat, Nashville SEC baseball. You take it any way you want to take it.
Yeah, I'd probably go Blues Avs. I feel like it's going to be a good game. I think Colorado is going to have to really earn one in St. Louis, and I think they will, and it'll be a big step for them. And they, you know, really, they need to be as not beat up as possible. Edmonton now can hang back and get a little bit of rest. So it's a big night. I will say that as a fan, I would love to see St. Louis win this game and give us a game. I mean, anytime we can get a game 7, I'm for a game 7. So, you know, that's the same thing with the Rangers Canes. I just feel like we might have a really compelling game tonight between the Blues and Avs.
I'm looking forward to Heat Celtics. Now, by the way, Jay Williams has apparently gone on ESPN, and this is the quote. Quote, I honestly think this is the most meaningful NBA finals that Steph will have of his career because the Boston Celtics are metrically the best defensive team that he's ever seen in the NBA finals. Is there not a game 6 tonight? Like, don't they? They got to finish this thing off first, right?
Ooh, man.
Listen, Draymond
Eric
said that
Spolstra.
They're playing Boston. You hear that last night, Robbie?
Play.
I heard it. Mm. Look, I mean, he could be right. It's not been encouraging for the Heat. I mean, their starting backcourt is 1-for-28 in the last 2 games. So that's probably not going to get it done. You're going to need to shoot a little bit better. Like, I think me and Rex Rowe could probably go 1-for-28 in an NBA game if we wanted to. But, like, just anointing Boston in the finals already. It's game 6. Like it's game 4 and they're up 3-0.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's the thing. Jay Williams, say whatever, but Draymond saying that? If the Heat get there, No doubt they will use that. Yeah, look, I hope I'm pumped for that, and I hope we get a game seven there too. I want a good game. Can we get a good game tonight?
There's not been one really in this series so far, which has been very disappointing on that front. We'll see what happens in the SEC baseball tournament. Vanderbilt taking on Kentucky a little bit later today, and Tennessee just looks like they're on a roll right now. So, Joe, you had your called shot of the Hogs winning the SEC baseball tourney. I believe it when I see it. I think the Vols are out for total domination, as you put it, world domination. I think that's at the front of their mind.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, what do you have to play for? Well, they love to compete. They like to beat the brains in of everybody they're playing every single time out. And why not add an SEC tournament championship? You at the end of this year, what matters is that your national chance. But if you are, why not have every single thing along the way that you could have won? So they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, I called the Arkansas shot because it's Call Your Shot Friday. I don't know how like great I feel about it. What I do feel great about is so the Whistler. You know, I know we're about out of time, but the Whistler's been taking a lot of crap in Hoover. But it's like the other Whistler, I think. This is where I get the two.
Not the main
two
one.
Of them, and I feel like from the video that I saw of the Ole Miss fan yelling at the Whistler, I'm like, oh, that's the other Whistler who isn't usually as present. The main Whistler that I know is always in the same spot at Hawkins. So anyway, the Whistler thing has become, I mean, it's like this is the whole SEC banning against one or two people who do a relatively annoying thing, which I think you can put out of your mind pretty quickly.
I don't. So I'm glad that they're receiving crap. This has been a good weekend on that front. We will not be having a live show here on Robbie Rex Road on Monday. Our live programming begins at 9 o'clock with Michelle Knezovic and Junie coming up on Monday morning. So make sure you're tuned in for that. The DDC is up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.